You're listening to Called to Homeschool, episode number 30. This is your manual to becoming the amazing homeschool mom you were called to be. All right, welcome back to Called to Homeschool, episode 30. I have a very special guest with me today. It is going to be my husband.
Hi, I'm Johnny.
This is my husband, Johnny. And we had Karen's husband on, Rich, a few weeks ago, and talking all about his passion. Sounds like a funny word, but his career and things he's really passionate about is educating the youth on sex education and proper ways to use it and proper ways to teach it and a lot of great stuff like that. It was so well received that we thought we would get Johnny on here to talk about what he does and how come he's passionate about it and how you can utilize it in your homeschool to teach your children. So Johnny, why don't you tell us a little bit about your career and what do you do?
Okay. So I have been self-employed almost 20 years and I own a company, a few companies. I'm a serial entrepreneur, but my main company is Total Financial Health. I started out as just a mortgage brokerage, a wholesale mortgage brokerage, and I've expanded to where I can do, I'm a Series 65 licensed investment advisor representative, and I'm licensed to do life insurance and annuities and estate planning, retirement plans, things like that.
So, all right, that was a mouthful. Does
yeah.
that make sense?
Yeah.
He takes your money and he does good things with it.
Yeah, there you go.
So, Johnny is awesome and he has been really helpful for other people. I think he does, one of your talents, I think, with money is being able to have people come with their mess. If you think about like little kids at a candy shop and they scoop their pennies in and like, what can I get for this? I feel like sometimes people can come with their mess and like, what do I do with this? And it could be people who don't have very much money and a lot of debt, or it could be people who have a lot of money and don't know what to do with it. Retirement, all those types of things. I feel like you're really good at taking all these crazy details and giving them a really clear path.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you say that because just literally last night I got an email from some friends that actually make pretty good money, but they have a bunch of debts that they wanted to get rid of and they were looking at maybe consolidating into a refinance or doing whatever. And I think you're right. I'm able to take a whole bunch of things, put it together and then simplify it, make a plan and say, do this, do that.
Yeah.
And that's what I really enjoy about my job. I like to tease people when I do mortgages, I enslave them for 30 years at a time. But really the enjoyable part of my job is teaching people about how to build habits to create a solid financial situation for their lives.
So that's great for adults, but most of our homeschool mamas are not teaching their neighbors about finances.
Yeah.
So why in the world would a homeschool mom teach her kids about finances?
So then one of the number one things that we fail at in this country, and in fact, the number one reason that causes a divorce is our financial matters. My smart aleck teenage son would say that the number one reason for divorce is marriage, but
Porter does like when you give him actual shout outs.
Oh, Porter, he
doesn't like when I just say my son.
Okay.
Our son.
But, and that's a joke we've always shared, but really the number one reason for divorce is financial. And we get into trouble because we don't follow sound financial principles ourselves. And then that is then passed along to our children. And then our children have poor habits that they've learned from us. It's our fault. As adults, it's our fault because we have not taught our children sound financial principles. Just like if we don't teach them, like Rich, if we don't teach them sound principles about the topic of sex, or if we don't teach them sound principles about how to deal with emotions, if we don't teach them that, then obviously we have to expect that they're going to develop poor habits, which will then lead to poor consequences in their adult lives. And that's what's happening. And frankly, some of us probably learn poor financial habits from our own parents because it really started, you know, the Depression era where they were very frugal and then their children learned from them and they did it. And those are probably our parents.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we get down past that age, it's just been, there's been such a high level of affluence in America that we have forgotten that we need to exercise sound financial principles of saving and thrift and all those things. We forget it.
Yeah.
And then if we don't teach our kids that, then it leads them to a life where they can have a lot of pain that we could have helped them avoid.
So talk to me, you were telling me a little bit before about creating a good habits with money. So why don't you share with them what you were expressing with me, the marshmallow video.
Yeah. So there's a video, maybe we can put a link to your, in your show notes page of video. It's just on YouTube. And there was an experiment done with children where they gave them one of those not a marshmallow, like a big marshmallow. I'm talking about the giant ones that are bigger than, you know, I have pretty big hands and it would be big enough to, like, softball size marshmallows. Right. So a kid would look at that and think, I'm going to eat that. I want to, you know, get that. What's that Austin Powers? Get in my belly. Oh. You know, they would want to eat that in two bites because that would just be so good to them. And so they sit them down in front of a camera and they put this gigantic marshmallow, half the size of half their head, in front of them and say, look, we're going to go out of the room for 4 minutes. And if you don't eat any part of that marshmallow, when we come back, we will give you another one. So you will have two. And then they monitor it and they sit there and it's hilarious when you watch a video because these little kids are like twiddling their thumbs, looking at the thing like, I don't know if I can hold off. You know, they're just freaking out. And then they follow those kids throughout their lives to see the ones that just said, nah, and they eat the marshmallow, take a big giant bite and hope nobody notices, or some of them just like tank it. And then the other ones that just wait there. And then after 4 minutes, I can't remember the time interval, but after a time, they come in and give them the second marshmallow. So then they follow those kids throughout their lives to see how they did financially, how they did in their marriages, how they did in everything. And without exception, the ones that were able to put off gratification, it's delayed gratification is the term that they use in economics. If they can delay their gratification until later, they had significantly more successful marriages. They were significantly more affluent and better with their money, and they were more charitable in their lives because they were able to not only generate more money, but they were able to disassociate themselves from their self-worth from the money. And so it was just a huge study that they did on this, and it's kind of comical to watch. But then when you start thinking about the long-term ramifications of not teaching your children delayed gratification when it comes to money, you can see some of the problems we have in our society right now of kids wanting instant gratification, which then leads to bad things like pornography, theft, coveting, all of these things that can lead to bad things in our society. So it really starts at the habits that we teach our children.
Okay. So Johnny has put together a book, and those on YouTube can see it.
Yeah, there it is.
What is it called?
5 Simple Things You Can Do to Become a Financial Ninja. And yes, I did make a... Someone took my logo and made a ninja mask, and I'm very proud of it.
That was awesome. So he's going to share some of, why don't you pick some of your favorites, and then how would you actually implement them into homeschool?
Okay, so I wrote this book, and I made it simple. It's only, I can't remember.
So it's 5 simple things, not 5 complicated things.
Yeah, and it's a small book. It's only like 5x5, and it's only 26 pages long. It's very simple and easy to read because I have learned that there are many in my profession that like to baffle people with their wonderful, big, fancy words when they really don't know much. And then the people think, oh, he uses big words, so he must be a professional. And I think, no, if you can't distill a complicated idea down into its simplest parts and make it easy for anybody to understand, you don't understand the topic.
Who said, I think, didn't Einstein say that?
Well, they should have.
Well, somebody did. Like, if you can't explain it to a child, you don't understand it.
Oh,
well enough. Yeah. There's something like that. Somebody will fix it if I said it wrong.
Okay, good. But so I tried to do that very, very simply, and I wrote this for an everyday American family, a husband or wife or whoever needs it. And it's just very 5 simple things. Number 1, get organized. Number 2, get a debt plan. Number 3, get a spending plan. Number 4, get saving. Number 5, get a retirement plan. And so I go through and I do that. And as I was thinking about, you know, we're going to do this podcast, I was thinking about how the number one things we need to teach our kids.
Yes, because your kids probably they're not in debt.
And they don't have the perspective to see a retirement plan, right?
Right. When you tell your 12-year-old, like, what year do you want to retire on? How much income? I don't know.
Play Fortnite.
$300?
Yeah. So it's, those things aren't necessary, but the number... There are 3 things I was thinking about, and I'm probably going to forget one of them, but
okay.
There are 3 things
at
I was thinking
two.
About. Yes, at least 2. There are 3 things I was thinking about that we really need to teach our kids. And that's what you and I have really tried to teach our kids. And number one is that the building solid habits is what will lead to a solid financial future. It is not the math that matters. It is the habits that matter. And it has to do with your emotions. So when the number one habit that you can teach your child, first of all, okay, so here are the 3 things. First of all, number 1, as an adult, as a parent, get your financial life in order.
So you can teach by example?
Yes. That doesn't mean you put off teaching your kids forever, but at least start to get organized. And then as you teach, as you know, you're a homeschool mom.
I am. You've seen it.
Well, you're brilliant at it. But as you've seen, as you teach, you learn.
Right. And it's easier to say, do what I'm doing, not do what I say.
Right. And so you don't have to be 100% ready, but you need to at least try to get your stuff together. So, you know, read this number one, get organized, go through it and just get everything
together.
Where
could they get that book if they wanted this?
I have an ebook copy if you'd like to read that, or I'll just send it to anybody.
Okay. On an ebook. So
ebook, or I'll just,
so through totalfinancialhealth.com.
Yeah. It's on my website, totalfinancialhealth.com. And I'll mail it to someone if they want it. I'm not going to charge anybody for it. I like to get the message out.
No, it's $1,000.
$1,000. It is gold laced.
Just kidding. So check it out on that website for the free download.
Okay. So you get organized. So get yourself going. And then the number two thing that you need to teach your children is learning the habit of saving. Okay. So when I go through in this and I teach adults how to save, and this comes straight from a book called Richest Man in Babylon. If you don't have that book, spend the $6 on Amazon.
That's right.
Yes.
We're in Johnny's office recording. So he has this. This is one of the books he's given away to some of his clients.
Yeah, you've got to read Richest Man in Babylon. And where I get this is that you need to learn to live off of, if you're not religious and you don't pay a tithe, you need to learn to live off of 90% of your income. Meaning, when you get paid, the first thing you do is you pay yourself. So you take 10% of what you make. If you make $10,000 a month, you take $1,000 and put it into savings. If you make $2,500 a month, you take $250 a month and put it in savings, and you pay yourself first. And that is the number one thing you need to teach your children. If you are a religious person and you tithe, we do. We learn to live off 80% of our income because we pay 10% to God first, and then we pay 10% to ourselves. So we tithe to God, tithe ourselves, and then when you learn to live off 80% of what you make, it doesn't necessarily matter what you spend that on because you're going to have money in the bank always. And that's, you know, assuming you're not going into debt. So the habit that you need to teach your children is when they get paid, if they pay a tithing, have them pay a tithe. If then after that, or first, save.
At least match it.
At least match your tithe to that. Our kids actually save about 30 to 40%.
Because they don't really have a lot of, I mean, they have some expenses, but they also, they have jobs and whatnot. So they have a regular stream of income coming in.
Yeah. So it's learning to save and learning to first things first, prioritize your spending. Now I have a lot of clients. I've coached thousands of people literally over the last almost 20 years. And the number one thing that they always do is they say that they can't save. And so I challenge people to save 10% of their, and if they say they can't, okay, try 9%. If you can't, try 8%, all the way down to 1%. And I had someone say, I can't save 1%. And I said, then you're not serious about finance and you're going to be bankrupt the rest of your life. So don't talk to me anymore. I was very bold with them.
Yeah.
Within a month, they were saving 10% of their income.
But that's from a life coach point of view. It's your thoughts, right?
Right.
If you have the thought, I can't, then you will make that true. You'll create the result. So if you have the thought like, okay, maybe 10 seems like too much, but I think I could do 5%.
Yeah.
And then you will feel confident, or you would feel empowered, and you'd find a way through your actions to create that result.
Right. So that is the number one thing you can do for your children, is teaching them to save at a minimum 10% of their income. So if they make $20 babysitting, they take $2 and have a separate savings account for them somewhere that is their long-term, we call it no touchy-touchy, right? That's what I always
that
say.
That could also go with Rich's.
Yeah.
But he said use real words, so I guess it wouldn't.
Well, and I do, I also say ne touche pas, because that's what my grandpa used to say in French. You don't touch that savings. That's a separate savings from, hey, I'm going to save up and buy a bike, or I'm going to save up and buy a whatever, American Girl doll, whatever they're going to
do. And where do you put that money?
So I keep it in a separate savings account at either the credit union where they have their bank accounts.
In their money market, right?
Yeah, in their money market. Or I also set, I mean, I'm nerdy, so I set up TD Ameritrade investment accounts for all of them.
Okay, that's for another episode.
Yeah, different episode.
But to keep it simple, our kids put it in a money market account so that they know that's their non-touching one. They're no touchy-touchy.
No touchy-touchy.
And then their other one is if they're saving up for, like, Porter would be a guitar. Bella would be a lot of clothes. So each of them would have then their savings that they could dip into, because it's not their long-term savings.
Right. It's a delayed spending for that savings, but then this is their long-term. And it's not the amount of money that's important. It's the habit of building that up.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's important. And if we could only teach our kids one thing about finances, it's that. If you save 10% of your income starting at an early age, you will be wealthy.
That's awesome.
No
okay.
matter what.
Before you add another principle, I wanted to ask, I guess I can just tell how we incorporate this into our family.
Yeah, go.
So when, if you've ever watched any of my YouTube videos, and if you haven't, why not?
Yeah.
But you can see that once you hit about sixth or seventh grade, I start having them read about finances as part of school. So they're starting to read. Josh, he's reading Investments in One Lesson right now.
They all read Richest Man in Babylon.
Yeah, Richest Man in Babylon, A Millionaire Next Door, Think and Grow Rich. Is that another one?
Yeah, and then
Napoleon Hill.
Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Rich Dad, Poor Dad. So those are just some of the ones we've had them read. And then when we meet together as a family, one of the habits we're training them to do is to track their finances and what are they doing with their money. So every week we do this on Sunday that we get to see where they are with their finances and to help them create that habit. So we are having them read about it to understand it, kind of like that why do I do this, and giving them that. And then we review with them weekly on Sundays as a family. How are they doing? Do they need help? And a lot of times they're like, well, I made a bunch of money, but I don't know what I did with it. And so then dad gets to be like, ah, track it.
Well, what was awesome is, and that's part of our femcesis, right?
I've never talked about that on the podcast.
Well, what?
That needs its whole episode.
I have a brilliant idea that could help everybody, and I'm just going to keep it to myself.
Yes.
How could you?
So the F stands for financial.
So the financial, it was 2 weeks ago with Ethan.
So he's 18 now.
We said, how much did you make last month? And he said an amount and said, how much did you spend? And he looked over and he goes, oh, crap. I only saved $40 this month. And it was like, he realized how much he spent and they looked at it and it was like Little Caesars.
It was full Walmart. A lot of
Walmart, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, that's, again, that's part of tracking. So let's go on, because I don't want to ramble on too much.
Yeah, sorry. So I just wanted to let you know how. So as far as homeschool, I have them start reading about finances and economics about sixth and seventh grade. And then as a family, we're meeting together weekly to kind of answer questions and help them along the way, kind of mentor them.
Start Richest Man in Babylon when you're early. When they're 10 years old, they'll understand it. It's not that hard. And especially at 12, they'll understand it.
That's one of his favorite, one of his favorite financial books.
Yeah, it's the seminal financial book you can read. The next thing that we do, and I will have a link also where you can download a free Excel spreadsheet that has a budget template on it. Kids, just all they need to know is they need an income and an expense tracking sheet. You can do it with paper if you want and make them do by hand and, you know, add and subtract. But if you have an Excel spreadsheet that they can put their income, add their income in, and they can put their expenses. So when they pull out $20 to go blow with their friends at a movie or something like that, they can put movie. They can categorize their expenses and then they can know, I earned this much this month. I paid out this much. So I saved X amount. And when you teach them, when you categorize their expenses and you teach them that one of their spending categories is savings, that 10% of their savings, at least, younger kids should probably do 30 to 40%.
Right.
But that at least they save that that's one of their expenses. That's how you're going to inculcate the habit of saving and being smart with your money. And that is the most important. So those two things are what you can do with kids. They don't need a retirement plan. They need to build habits of saving and tracking their money.
And so we, as a family, how we teach them, like I said, is this is what we're helping them with weekly.
Yeah. Every week we review what they earned and what they spent it on. And it doesn't have to be very long. It doesn't have to be big burden.
And it's not a shame thing like, no. Oh, you blew it on Little Caesars again. No, it was more to just say, to be aware.
Yeah. Well,
to say like, oh, I spent $150 on fast food and even running to the grocery store and just getting food. And that was almost all my money. I didn't spend it on anything fun. I spent it on food. And I said, if you need me to buy more, like I'll buy healthy food, but please just inform me that you're hungry.
Yeah.
And it was more about the independence. And it was exciting that he had his own car and his own money. And so now he saw where his money was going. And so that's what we do as a family together.
Yeah. And then I would encourage you as a parent to do the same thing. You need to track your spending. You need to know what you're doing. You need to be able to return and report to your spouse so you're together on your money. You know where your money's going. Because again, to wrap up, finances are the number one cause of divorce. And it's because people, I've coached literally thousands of people. I've spoken in seminars, done all the things. The biggest number one thing they don't do is communicate about finances. And then they build resentment against each other because they spent money on this, or one of the partners is working their guts out trying to provide, and then they come home and there's never enough money because they're not communicating. And everybody has fault. You never point fingers. but you learn to track your money and you learn to control it. And it's a very simple thing. So when you track it, you control it. And then you teach your children that. Your children are going to grow up with a habit of savings. So they're going to always have money with them. And they're going to have a habit of being able to track and control their spending so that they spend less than they make.
And you're talking about, too, the habit of delaying gratification.
Yeah, that's what it all comes down to. The savings is actually delayed spending. So you're delaying your gratification of spending that money until later when it's grown. And then the tracking is how you control it. Tracking is like taking, if you lose control of your emotions, it's because you're not understanding what your emotions are and you're not tracking and maybe writing things in your journal. It's the same thing with finance.
And food and anything.
Anything.
It's all the same.
So track it and control it. Those are the two things. If you teach your children that, they're going to grow up to be wealthy.
Really. That's awesome.
Really.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about how we've incorporated some of this with finances. As I have coached homeschool moms, some of them have said, okay, my kid's old now and they don't care to get a job and they don't care to move out or do become independent. And so if you've heard Karin and I talk about, we want our children to be independent learners and we're gradually teaching them how. But how do you teach a child to be independent with their money if they're never given the opportunity to have to buy things on their own?
Yeah.
Right.
And this is one thing I've loved that you've done. How do you break it down? What age do they start buying their
Okay,
stuff?
So we decided this together as a family. This was not, I came and I presented it to them and my kids voted, right? Like we didn't all vote, but we said like, this is what something I'd like to do. Yeah, we run
it's
a dictatorship. No, but they all agreed to it.
Yeah.
And so what we decided, I decided that at a certain age, because we have seven kids and it just gets expensive. And so we can put our money into just buying them fancy clothes or putting them in all the sports and stuff that they want to. But that also means that we can't do vacations anymore. That also means we can't update the house. So it just was kind of letting them know that if they could help carry some of the load, then we can still do some fun things. So what we decided that each kid will pay for one activity. As long as they live in the house, we will pay for one activity. So
meaning football,
dance, singing.
Yeah.
Guitar, theater, all those things. We pay for one. So just that's it. And so
at a time, right?
Yes. Sorry. Not once in your lifetime.
Yeah. You played basketball 8 years ago.
Yeah, you're good.
Fine.
No. So we'll pay for one. And then as far as clothes go, at 13, the magical teenage years, we no longer buy all your clothes. So we will buy the basics. I will always buy socks and underwear. And I say we share our money, right?
Yeah.
But I'm the one who goes and buys the kids stuff.
Yeah.
We buy them a couple pairs of pants, about
two.
Yeah, two pairs of jeans. Was it 3 to 4 t-shirts? I have it all written down.
Sunday clothes.
Sunday clothes, and then a pair of gym shoes, a pair of Sunday shoes, and
that's it.
And
or a jacket.
Jacket coat, yeah. So other than that, we don't buy anything. And it was really awesome because Josh just turned 13 and guess who went and made some money because he was worried about looking disheveled the rest of the year.
And he was wearing his socks out and doing things and he didn't want to have holes in his socks if he had to take his shoes off in front of other people. He started
to
be a little more self-conscious because he's around girls, things like that, right?
So at 13, we start having them do that. Then at 16, we add in that they need to buy all their own toiletries.
Mm-hmm.
So this would be for girls. Belle's not 16 yet, but she doesn't really wear makeup a whole lot. But if she like mascara, she'll have to buy it herself. But shampoo and conditioner, shaving supplies, shaving cream, deodorant, gel, anything like that. The boys are already now buying it because they're 16. And then we just decided, because Ethan will technically be graduated next year, once you're 18, I actually don't buy any more of your clothes. So not any of your socks or underwear or anything like that. So it's this transition phase of instead of you move out of the house and think, oh no, like I've had all this money and all this excess and I don't know how much things cost. And now I'm half naked and my clothes are a mess and I don't know how to buy things for myself. So part of our philosophy with parenting is teaching them and mentoring them so that they can be full functioning adults.
And I would say on the other end of that too, is when you give a kid more responsibility like that, it's also important to realize that the reason that they're getting more responsibility is because they're also going to get more freedom. Your levels of liberty.
That's on my YouTube channel, Levels of Liberty. So you can go check that out. We'll send a link to that.
Yeah. So if the kids are going to take on more responsibility, it's because we are trusting them to be able to do so. And therefore, they're going to have more liberty to be able to go out and face the world. And we're giving them more and more tools to go out and slay their dragons. And the world is a big, scary place. And if we send them out there without these tools, they're not going to be able to slay their dragon. They're going to have a failure to launch, and they're going to stay home. And that's what's happening in so many households. And one of the number one reasons kids don't move out is they're afraid financially. And they haven't learned from their parents, what does it take to do this? So we share in our family meetings, we share how much I make. We tell them to keep it quiet if that's personal. We tell them how much our mortgage is.
Yeah, I was going to make a joke about all the zeros of the millions of dollars don't fit.
But there's a decimal. No, but I mean, we share how much we make. We share how much rent a mortgage payment is. We share how much a car payment is, how much food is. Food for us is honestly a mortgage payment.
Yeah, it's about the same as our mortgage, or a little bit more.
It's a little bit less.
Oh, okay.
It's a little bit less than our mortgage payment. And that's just, if we're feeding 9 people and we're...
And the neighbors.
And we're big kids, I know. So it's just important to share all of that with your children. Be open about it. Don't hide this financial stuff from them and teach them. Because then when they come up to you, they don't come up to us and beg, can I get this, can I get that? Because they know...
They can if they go buy it.
Yeah. But they also know our financial situation. We're in a good financial situation, but they know what it would do. We couldn't travel as much. We couldn't do things if we go spend it on frivolous stuff.
And speaking of travel, that is something that's becoming a really big part of our family.
Yeah.
And so I'm always scheming to get what I want. And Johnny told me I can get anything I want if I can find a way to pay for it.
Sure.
So I totally am stealing my kids' money now. No, just kidding. So I'm having them donate every month into a vacation fund.
Yeah.
And they're just putting in $25. We started with 50, and that was a little too much for some of those younger kids. But our kids are all putting $25 away each month into this big pool.
George does nothing. He's lazy.
The baby, the 2-year-old, right?
Yeah.
And so...
Briggy doesn't do 25 because he's a little too young, too. It's based upon your need. Once you get to the point where you can do 25, do 25.
Yeah.
But up to that point, if Briggy could do 5, great.
But we're going away to Florida, and we bought planes tickets, and we said, we're going to take the 4 youngest, and we said, you can come if you pay half your ticket. And so Briggy, who is 8, was able to pay $50 toward his ticket.
Again, George did nothing.
And we have to pay for him. He's not free anymore.
Lazy bum.
So it was interesting as I was talking to Tess about this, because she was like, I paid $50 for this. And I was like, okay, well, we paid the other half. And now we're going to have gas. And now we're going to have all these things. And so being very open about what a trip actually costs.
Yeah.
Is really, really fantastic. But anyway, that's how we are able to do a lot of our trips, is we have our kids contribute. And then we don't do Christmas presents or birthday presents, really. And this all goes, even my birthday, happy birthday to me, just barely.
Whee!
I said, don't give me presents, just donate to my saving, my trip.
Vacation fund,
thank you. So that's some of the things we do, is we've made it really a family unit and a family, like, this is what we do. Our family saves money, and creating that culture and that dynamic.
And then that becomes their vacation as well. It means more to them when they actually, in the financial world, they call it putting skin in the game. It's like a down payment on a house. You don't walk away from a house when you put a bigger down payment, because you put skin in the game.
Yeah.
When the kids put skin in the game in their vacation, they're interested, and it means more to them. And that means that they'll remember it more.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Thank you so much to Johnny for being on here today.
You owe me big time.
I owe him big time. We'll put his website on here. If you do have financial questions, he's actually fantastic for adults, for if you're in debt, to help you get out of debt, or he's really great with retirement planning. That's a really awesome one that he's good with. So go check him out. He's awesome. Go look at his book, To Become a Financial Ninja. And if you're wondering what FEMCISIS is, I guess I'm going to have to do a whole video about that.
Yes,
now.
You should.
And I will be back, but Johnny won't. Well, not this time, unless you really want him here. He may come back and talk about languages. His undergrad is actually in linguistics. So we've talked about, Karen and I have talked a little bit of, I think we've shared that he's a nerd, but he's my nerd. All right. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to Called to Homeschool. Be sure to subscribe, and we'd love to hear your comments or questions. You can find all our show notes on calledtohome.com.